This morning, I want to share just some thoughts with you. But I also want to say thanks to God for the opportunity to let me stand once again and preach His Word. Just maybe about 12 years ago, I never imagined that I could even come to a church. And now, when I have the opportunity to preach His Word, I just feel that this is like a great honor that God has given to me. And every time I do that, I just want to give all the honor and glory to God. I would like to invite you to, I don't know if you have Bibles, hope you have. I would like to invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Mark, in chapter 16, and verse 15. And I don't know how you do it in here, but in Costa Rica, when we read God's Word, we like to stand. And we like to do it just to in honor and respect to God's Word. So I would like to ask you to stand this morning and read together God's Word. Book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 15. I want to read God's Word, giving honor to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. It says, and He said to them, this is Jesus, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for this precious church, for this precious worship we had. Thank you because we can stand in here and because we can share your word. I ask you to take control of this morning and let us just preach what you really want us to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk. I want to talk about the Great Commission, and I want to. I want to mention about three very important things that we really need to do to start getting ready to do the Great Commission. I know that many people when are invited to go into a mission or to go and do something for God or even do something for someone, you can get excited. I mean, I like serving other people. I like going into missions. I like doing many things. But there are some things that we need to do before we decide to go into the mission fields. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus came to the disciples and He talked to them. And the first thing He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And after that, in verse 16 and 17, He mentioned that the ones who believe are going to be saved. And the ones who does not believe, they're not going to be saved. But in verse 17, he mentioned about some signs, about some things that are going to follow those who are in the fields doing the mission that God is sending us to do. Now, for example, it mentions that they will take up serpents. I don't know if you are taking up serpents here. And what Jesus really wants us to understand through this verse and through these signs that He's mentioning here is that when we are going to missions, we are going to do something that we really don't know. And we are going to do something that maybe when we got in there, we're going to be amazed and we're going to be surprised of what we're going to find. And that's why we need to be ready. I remember one time in the past when I came to Christ, I was just excited. I was excited about preaching and about doing something for God. And I remember when I have amount at the church, my first month at the church, I started saying that I want to preach. And I told everybody, I want to preach. And the people say, you cannot preach because you are so new at the church and you need to learn. What are you going to preach? You don't know anything about God's word. So I said, I don't know. I just want to preach. I mean, I really like this and I want to preach. So I had a very good friend who was another crazy guy. And he told me, you know what? I also want to preach. And he just had about 3 months in the church. And he said, guess what? I think I have a good idea to preach. We can go into a place, I mean like in just in a place outside, and we can preach in there. I mean, nobody one is going to tell us that you cannot do it, because we can do it. I told him, okay, we're going to do it. So we went to a place, and it was like a Catholic church. And it was like, they have like, in the front of the church, sometimes the kids used to come and hang around. I mean, there wasn't like it was not like a service or something. They were just outside, hanging around. And my friend told me, hey, we can come up there and stand in there and we can preach. I mean, they're going to hear. I said, well, let's come and do it. So we came into that place. I was about a month. I really didn't know one verse from the Bible. I didn't know what to say. So I came with him and I said, let's try you first. I mean, I think you are the most experienced in here. So let's try you first. So we're standing there. And once you start preaching, everybody left. I mean, just everybody. We got along there, and I said, well, I think you did a great sermon, but there's no people in here, so we're done. We're not going to do it anymore. But what I want to share to you is that there is a calling from God. And when first thing Jesus said, he said, go. And I want to stop in here and want to tell you, the church needs to go. And when I'm telling you go, I'm not talking about going to Costa Rica or Greece or Germany. I'm talking about action. I'm talking about moving. The church cannot be a very passive church. We cannot be like just waiting to see what is going on, waiting to see what God wants us to do. No, we need to go. We need to start doing new things for God. We need to start moving all the chores and putting on work. And what I really want to share with you about go is that there are so many churches that are like sleeping. And when I say this, is that they're just so comfortable. They're just so comfortable. They're so just related ones with others. And they don't want to go. They just want to stay. And when I say go, I am talking about the Great Commission. I am talking about doing what we should be doing. And when I say go, I am talking about the kids in the schools. They should be preaching to other people. They are the ones who are going to preach. I mean, I think that the pastor kid, he cannot go to the school to preach, probably. But the kids in the school, they can preach. Maybe pastor kid, he cannot go to the offices to preach. But you're in the office working, you can preach. And that's God's calling to us. He's going to put us in very strategic places to share His word and to share the gospel. Now, the gospel has been, through the years, it has been coming more and more easy to us. I mean, in the past, in the first church, they had a lot of trouble. They had a lot of persecution. They had a lot of difficult situations. And if you read about the book of Acts, the Bible says that they sold all what they have and they shared with others. You know why they were doing that? Because when you accepted Jesus in the first church, in the past, when you accepted Jesus, you were done. I mean, your family was against you. Your friends, they were against you. Everybody was against you. They were going to persecute your life. So they really became a family. They became a real family. And that's why they saw everything and they shared with others. Because they were a real family. Now, in our times, our churches, I'm not just talking about the United States, I'm talking also in Costa Rica. We are so comfortable. I mean, We are just great. And we come to church on Sunday and it's great and relaxed. And then we go home and we have a nap and then we're fine and everything is fine. But in the beginning, it was not like that. In the beginning, being a Christian was a very serious decision that I know that many people in these times, and including me, we should think a lot about being a Christian if we were living in that times. And it reminds me something that my pastor, some of you know my pastor, Ina. One of these days, we were at the church, and when we came to the church, or before we came to the church, days before, she told me, Jose, on Sunday, I want you to preach. And I said, okay. And she said, but we're going to have a outside service. I mean, we're going to go out from the church, and we're going to preach. I said, that's fine. But when I came to the church, I thought, probably we're going to go out, and we're going to probably put some chairs outside and microphone and everything and preach and invite the people to come. And that sounds nice. But when I got into the church, the pastor, she asked me, Jose, are you ready? I said, I am ready. So she said, okay, you can go. And okay, who is going with me? And she said, you can go with your wife if you want. And I said, okay, where are we going? And she said, whatever you want. So I got really confused. I got just like you, probably. Like, what is going on? And then I told her, what should I do? And she said, just go and preach. You're ready to preach? I said, yes, I'm ready. She said, just go and preach. And I said, okay, I can do that. And I really don't like to argue. I mean, I really don't want to argue with her. So then she said, you can take this lady and this guy with you. You can go and preach. And we're going to stay here. We're going to pray for you. So I said, okay, that sounds very good for you, not for me. And I talked to my wife. And my wife said, just don't tell her anything. Just go. I said, okay, I can go. And when we were on the way, we were walking with these other people, and everybody just looked at me and they said, where are we going to stand and preach? I said, I don't know. I mean, we were confused. So one of the ladies, sometimes the people, they like to feel like spiritual. So she said, I think it's just right in here. Here's the place where God wants us to preach. So I looked at her and I said, why? How do you know? She said, I don't know. I feel this is the place. I said, okay, it's fine. So when we stood in there, she said, I want to sing some songs. So everybody's going to come. And I tell you, she's not very good singing. I mean, she can cook, probably. But she's not good singing. I mean, I'm not good singing, and she's not good singing. But I said, okay, you can sing. And she started singing that very awful, I mean, it was awful voice. And everybody was at the houses, and they were just looking like this by the windows. And they said, who these crazy people is? What are they doing there? And there were a lot of people in the other area who are like drug addicts, and they used to live it's like a community place. They come to sleep at night, sir. And everybody was just looking like, these crazy people, what are you doing there? And then when it was my turn, she said, now you can preach. And I stood in there. I tell you, that was an experience to me. I mean, I was just preaching to no one in there. I mean, there was no one person in there, just us. I mean, like four people. And I took the Bible, and I started reading. And I started preaching with no microphone, so nobody went probably can hear. And once I finished preaching, when I went to church, when I got into nobody came. I tell you, it was not something wonderful. I mean, I just preached and nobody went came. Probably nobody went hears, but maybe some of them. But when I got into the church, and pastor asked me how was it, I said it was good. I mean, I just wanted to be proud. I said, it was fine. Great. And she said, okay, that's what God wants you to do. That's what He likes us to do. And I started thinking about that. And sometimes we are becoming very used to easy things. We are becoming very used to stay with the people. We are becoming very used to do things together, to do everything easy. But when they send us to do something different that is going to be probably more difficult, I am honest with you, sometimes we don't want to go. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Because when he mentioned it about go into all the world, I think about this. The world is all the world. But the disciples, they used to live in that areas. Probably they didn't know America. They didn't know Costa Rica. They didn't know United States. Actually, in order for them to come here, it was a huge sacrifice. It was a huge and very difficult thing to do. But God was calling them to do it, to go and preach everybody, every person all around the world. So, this morning, I really want to encourage you and to challenge you to do that things that you don't think, that you don't feel comfortable to do. Now, I'm not asking you to go to the streets and preach, or maybe you can go. But at least maybe you can go to your school and share with your friends the gospel of Christ. I mean, that's huge. That's amazing. I met a boy, he was in high school in that time, and he told me a story about when he was in the school, and the kids in Costa Rica, in the schools, they used to have like a president in every one of the grades, so they choose him like the president. So as he was a president, he took advantage from that, and he said, I want everybody to sit, he's the president. And once they sat there, he said, I want to share something with you, and he started preaching to them. And guess what? Many of the kids, they came to Christ because of the testimony, because of the word, because he took advantage from the opportunity he had. And that's what we need to do. That's what every person in this place needs to do. Maybe the pastor here, he cannot come into your office, into your work, but you can. You can do it. And Jesus, when he was talking about this, this is not a calling for the pastors. This is not an instruction for big leaders. This is an instruction for every single Christian person in this place. Now, something else I want to share with you is, when Jesus talked to them about this, he mentioned it about some signs that are going to follow to those who believe. And pay attention to this. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. He did not say, these signs are going to follow to those who preach. He said, these signs are going to follow to those who believe. I mean, he was talking about the people who was going to be converted. He was talking about the new Christians that were coming to church. And he started mentioning some things that will happen to them. And I want to read a verse in the book of Acts. And I know Bob already read it, but it's my sermon. It says, book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Sometimes we used to speak about that we're going to be witnesses, but I don't want to speak about that. I want to speak about the first part. And the Bible said that Jesus told to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, pay attention to this. Jesus did not say, I am giving you power. He didn't say, you are receiving power now. No, he said, you shall receive. If my English is fine, I think it means that you will receive power, right? It means that it was not in that moment that it was going to happen in the future. And then if you go to the chapter 2 and verse 1, it says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And it starts talking about different things that happened. But in verse 4, chapter 2, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it talks about more things that happened in there. But I want to focus in the main thing here is, God was talking to them that they needed power. And listen to this. They were with Jesus for about 3 years. They were with Jesus, preaching everywhere. They were feeding the hungry. They were doing a lot of things with Jesus. But then Jesus said to them, hey, in order for you to go and preach, you need power. And I want to tell you something. The church needs power. You know what it means? The church needs the Holy Spirit. And I am fear about something that is happening in my country, and hopefully it's not happening here. But many young kids, they don't know what the Holy Spirit is. I mean, they don't know what the power of God is. And this is something that the parents, they need to teach your kids. You need to teach them about what the Holy Spirit is and how the power of God can make amazing things in our lives. When I became a Christian and I went to a church that was a very active church, I can tell you, we had a lot of demon possessions in that church. So first time I came to the church and I look at that, I tell you, it was like, oh my God, what is this? I don't know if you have seen in your life one time a demon possessed person, but that is not something nice. That is not something fun. That is something crazy. And that is something that is going to scare you. But that happens. And that happens when there is a church that has the power of God. Because the power of God is what is going to make that the people who are possessed, they cannot, it's just what, like when they came in front of Jesus. They were around, they were fine. But when they came in front of Jesus, they got into trouble. Because Jesus had the power. Now, the church needs the power. If the church doesn't have power, nothing is going to be effective. If the church doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can sing 3 hours, but there is no worship. And there is a big difference between singing and worship. Everybody can sing. I mean, Britney Spears, she can sing. Michael Jackson, he sang very well. Many people, they can sing. But worship is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, why was Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit? They are God. They are all God. And it's just because the Holy Spirit is just very close to us. He's just excited about putting our lives into action. The Holy Spirit is just what? It's just the person of God, or it's just God through our lives doing amazing things. And you see, when Peter, and if you continue reading the book of Acts in chapter 2, when he stood and preached, you see what happened? 3,000 people accepted Jesus. 3,000 new believers after Peter preached. And you know why that happened? Because when he stood and preached, he was with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, our churches, and again, I ain't speaking about Costa Rica. I don't live in here. I don't know what happens in here. But in Costa Rica, many churches, because of the way how they worship, because of the way how they proceed, they are taking God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, everything out from the churches. And you know why? Because they want more entertainment. They want more. Everything is shorter. Sometimes you go to a church and they say, no, we just want you to preach 5-10 minutes. That's enough. Because we want to put here a movie for everybody. And they are changing God's word and the power of God for entertainment. And you see what happens? What happens is that the church is becoming less powerful. And the church needs to be powerful. And I want to mention something. The church has the power to change one state. I don't know if you can believe this, but the church has the power.
The church has the power to change a country. I mean, one church, your church, you guys have the power to change this country. Just if you can believe it, and if you can move with the power of God. Because, I mean, just one person in this place, if just one person can believe it, you have the power to change all this country. There are so many things happening these times all around the world, not only here. A lot of very bad things are happening. And let me tell you something. And this is not going to change. This is not going to be better in the future. Mm-mm. This is going to be worse. I tell you, this is not going to be better. If you think that your kids are doing crazy things, you better wait to see the kids from your kids. If you think that the people in these times are doing very bad things, murdering people, killing people, just wait another 20 years and you will see what is going to happen. Because the world is going to be always worse and worse and worse. And I know that if we have here a person who has like 60 or 70 years, they can say, oh yeah, 60 years ago, things were absolutely different. We didn't have this and this and this and this. But now we have all that things. And there is one thing, one reason why that is happening. And it's just because the church is not doing anything to change that. I know it's not like a very famous sermon, but this is what is happening. I mean, this is what is happening all around the world. We're not doing anything. We're just looking and saying, oh, that's very bad. Oh, very bad. And we pray for our family. But the church has power to change the country, to change what your people in the court they think, to change what the people in Washington they want to do. You have the power to do it. And I want to finish with a testimony, very powerful testimony of what happened in Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, of course, like in here, we have a lot of people, girls who don't like boys, boys who don't like girls, girls like girls, and boys like boys. It means homosexuality. And of course, they are going to do pressure. And they want to change even our constitution. Because at least in our country, our constitution says that you can marry a person if you are a man, you can marry a woman. And if you are a woman, you can marry a man. And the constitution says that that's what is called a couple, a marriage. But they want to change that. And of course, that's happening all around the world. And also, many people, they want to let abortions, they want to let everything. Because the world is getting worse and worse. But the church in Costa Rica, they got organized all around the country. And they started praying every day in the radio stations. All the Christian radio stations are praying at the same time. And guess what happened? One of the people, of the persons who, I don't know how you call these persons, but one of the big persons in there, he's a Christian. And as the government, we're having a lot of pressure to accept homosexuality and these things. They said, we are going to make like a committee. We're going to make a committee here. And we're going to set one person and a group to decide what should we do about this. And guess what? They chose the Christian man to lead that thing. Can you praise the Lord? And you know what? Of course, they're not happy with him. I mean, and he just stood in there, and he just said, our country, we don't accept that. And we love you, we love homosexuals, we love lesbians, we love everybody, but our country is not like that. We're not going to accept that. And you know what was he doing? He was just showing the power of God. And this is not because of him, it's because of the praying of all of one country. Everybody praying together. Everybody asking God, maybe we don't have a person in there, but you can do it. Maybe we don't have the power to come there, but you can do whatever you want. And that's exactly what I want you to understand. My sermon this morning is about the power that the church has to change the world. Guys, you have power. You have power. But we need to return and see God. And we need to live our comfortable lives. And I'm not telling you to leave your house. I'm just telling you to leave what is easy for you and start doing things that are going to be probably not very comfortable. Because when you start preaching to other people about Christ, some of them, they're not going to be very happy with you. Maybe, Bobby, if you are in a school and you start preaching to your preaching to other people in the school, maybe you're not going to be the most popular. Maybe they're going to say, oh, that's a boring guy. Maybe the girls are going to say, oh, Bobby. Holy Bobby. No, we don't want Bobby. Maybe if you girls are in the school, in high school, and you start preaching about Christ, they're going to say, no, we're not going to invite her to go party because she's so boring, because she's just speaking about Christ. But that's one thing that is going to happen. This country is going to start changing all around the country. Because when we as the church start moving and going, that's the calling from God. Go! If we start going, we are going to change everywhere where we are. And I remember when I was in school, I know that preaching in school is kind of hard. It's kind of difficult because you want to be popular. Everybody likes to be popular. Everybody likes to be, hey, the boy, the person. But I remember when I was in school, I was non-believer. And I used to be with the worst guys. I mean, I used to do a lot of very bad and evil things that I don't want to share here. But when I accepted Jesus, and I was still in the school, I remember that in the church, they started to tell me, and this needs to be tell to everybody in this church. They told me, you are a new person. Jesus is in your life. You are never the same. You are not going to speak like you spoke before. You are not going to be the same person. Now, Jesus is with you wherever you go. So when I went to school, and they started making bad jokes and bad stuff, I told them, no, I don't want to be here because I'm a Christian, because Jesus, He changed my life. He made something for my life. And you know what happened? They started calling me, oh, here's a holy man. Oh, he cannot stand with us. He doesn't like to listen to us. All our jokes and all our stuff is not good for him. And I said, that's not good for me. I love you guys, and I always try to show them God's love. But we need to make a difference. And years after that, one guy, he became a Christian. And he told me, I remember when you were in school. I remember you had something different. I remember that you were such a different person. And that's what we need in the schools. Different girls, different boys. In the works, we need different persons. Someone who makes a difference. And that is going to change all our country. I just want to ask you to close your eyes and pray a little bit. God, I want to say thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for the opportunity to stand here and preach your word. Thank you for every person in this room. I hope that your word can be in their hearts all their life, Lord, and that they can go, Lord, into their works, into their schools, into their families, and preach your word and share the gospel and share God's love with every person who is just next to them. I ask you to continue blessing this church. I want to say thank you for the wonderful mission work that they have been doing in the past and in the present, and I know they're going to do in the future. And I want to ask you to continue blessing the pastor and all the leaders of this church and continue using them to preach your word and to reach the ones in need and to bring hope to those who doesn't have any hope. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.